Over to Mark for our inspiration. I just want to thank you all for being here. When I was driving here this morning, I was thinking this is such an amazing group of people. Thank you for dedicating your time to Northern Orange County. And I know that everyone here is involved in a lot of different things, making our community a better place. So I'm going to be here with you all. Thank you so much. And now I'm going to pass it over to Mark for our inspiration.
Okay, so I actually borrowed one from Winston Churchill. Okay. So courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. Courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen.
The words of wisdom for us all. Thank you, Marty. And now I would like to ask Debbie Baker to lead us in the pledge of allegiance. Please stand up. Ready, begin.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And before I hand it over to Dave, so that he doesn't get in trouble, I want to let you know that he's been working diligently on getting this form updated. So it will be updated by our next meeting with the right year, with the right committee structure, et cetera, et cetera. So he's been doing his best. Okay, Dave.
Okay. Charlene Ashenberg. Pardon?
She's traveled to be a friend.
Oh, okay. Debbie Baker.
Here.
Linda Barcelona. Laval Brewer. Elizabeth Buser.
Here.
Jerry Chang.
Present.
Meredith Chalimi.
Present.
Lynette Pujitani. The lead general. Howard Hart. Jean Hernandez.
Present.
Ken Hageman.
Here.
Mary Ann Clayton.
Here.
Felix Lopez.
Here.
Crystal Myers.
Present.
Patty Newton.
Present.
Ann Mundry.
Present.
Robert Nelson.
Present.
Julian Nichols.
Here.
Rachel Owens.
Here.
John Pointer.
Coming up, we can choose our presentation.
Amina Sun Matthews.
Present.
Marty Simonov.
Here.
Barbara Slope.
Present.
Mandy Stang.
Present.
Nathan Steele.
Here.
There's not.
Dave Tenslaw. Dave Wheeler.
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much, and John Pointer is present. Okay, now, Dave, we're on to Secretary comments and talking about the limited optional senior service hours.
Okay, two items. You've got the old hourly fee. Elizabeth and I are making modifications on that for the next meeting. And it will be under our current name. The second item is for the month. You are filling this out for the month of March. We are only 1 month from previous to the meeting. So this is your hours in March. Please put them in front of me here, or if you need to complete it afterwards, please email them to me. Thank you very much. I've got the ones for 2023.
Yeah. And that is optional that if you have volunteers, which I'm sure we all have, please note that down and then to be able to tally our hours to show how much we're dedicating to our community. Thank you so much, Paige. Okay, now we're on to agenda item number 6, public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the commission regarding any items within our subject matter jurisdiction. Do we have any public comments?
No.
Okay, thank you. Introduction is my pleasure to introduce Felix Lopez from the beautiful city of Buena Park. And I would like to give you a few minutes if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Felix Lopez. I'm a resident of the city of Buena Park. Previously, I was commissioner for transportation in the city of Buena Park for more than 10 years. And so now I am the district staff officer for diversity inclusion for the 11th District South Region for the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary. And I'm also in the civilian life and insurance broker. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Well,
we're glad that you're here.
You're welcome.
Any other introductions?
I have one. Donna Yasmin in the back, you can wave, Donna. Is a public health student at UCI and is a brand new intern with Alzheimer's Orange County. So her interest in public policy regarding health and older adults is what matched her with us. So say hello to them. Nice to have you here. Great intellectual energy.
Okay.
My question to Felix is what makes this commission compelling for you?
Well, because of my age. I'm 66 years old. That's why.
We're all aging every day.
Right.
They say. Great. You're glad that you're all here. Welcome, welcome. Okay, now we are on to discussion item. And we are going to be talking about mostly legislation and how it relates to the budget. I would really like to thank John Pointer for his tireless work on this on our behalf. Thank you, John, for all your preparation for today and for leading our discussion. We truly appreciate it.
I apologize. I made a bunch of copies and I received it over here, so I'm still assembling, but I'm going to try to do the best here.
Do you want me to do my chair report first?
Please. Okay. That would be great.
Okay. All right, so we'll have John assemble. We'll just reverse the order a little bit. So for the chair report, I would like to share that Rachel and I gave public comment on Tuesday at the Board of Supervisors meeting. We had a very interesting experience. It was the first time that both of us have done that. One of the board members had asked us to do that when we met with them at the end of last year. We were able to talk about what we've been up to here. So, and of course, if you were doing public comment, they could not respond to it. But they heard us. So I don't know if you want to say anything about that.
Will you give us the opportunity to add and to put the agenda in the future meetings rather than be limited to public comments? Like, so we are moving forward with that. Yeah.
I also wanted to share that. The Office on Aging has agreed to come up with a fast fact sheet for us to have a chart of our agenda packet going forward, and it'll have key metrics about the things that we're interested in that are going on with the Office on Aging and how they're interacting with community and how that involves them. So that is coming, which is really great news. That was one of our requests. Also, we're going to be able to have our info blast go out. So we have an educational presentation. Like last month, we had the Caregiver Resource Center the Office on Aging has agreed to put together an info blast on the community resource and to send it out and to give it to us too, to send it to senior centers in our areas of influence. So I want to thank the Office on Aging for agreeing to do those things. And then you'll see what else. I think that is about it. John, do you want us to go to another item, or are you all just ready? Another item? Okay. I guess that is a good reminder. We also are going to be getting more information about potential gaps in marketing of the 1-800 number. There's a certain funding that the California Department of Aging allocates, and some of the money can't be used in certain ways. So without getting into a lot of detail, there's more information to come about things that we may be able to request of the Board of Supervisors that doesn't go through the critical funding system. Okay, so then let's also talk about our senior center and city liaison update going to number 9. John is still getting settled here. Who has senior center and city liaison updates? Dave.
I think one update. I met with our senior center director at the meeting last time.
City of Living Health.
City of Living Health, yeah, sorry. And we talked about basically getting information out to people. And I think why have access to database and getting involved with the resident voters. And I'll see if I get see what we can accommodate. I've had emails for how many I have for the city budget, 55 in the area surrounding our senior center. So I did a task on the area around our senior center, because we're going to go to the Woods, Lake Forest, and Lake Indiana. Of course, you can go to the Lake Forest, just like Perkins, all that we want to go. I was able to pull up easily 16,000. Email that we can contact seniors and tell them about what's going on. That's probably true for every other center that is represented here. You can pull up numbers in the area and get a pretty good representation of people to get information out. It's an idea for them, getting the word out and things that can be done.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? So, since we're a lot of us are not elected officials, and I don't know if that has an impact, but what kind of question would we ask the senior center director to get that email list?
Oh, I just typed the email list.
So you're doing the email as an elected official.
Why, it's called. Okay.
Are you going to the county registrar?
Yeah, that's one way to get it. There are other organizations would probably help out, knowing the benefits of that, but that's the main one, the easiest one.
We need to have a captured list of 15,000 individuals.
Yeah.
You have it.
Yeah.
Rather than giving the senior center something that you ask them to send out.
It's like that. We talked about how to get information out. And I said, I could probably establish and create a list, which would be given to them to do with to pass out information.
So you're giving the list that you compiled to the senior center?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm still not clear how you got those names.
Registrar of voters.
You go to the registrar of voters and it lists people's email addresses.
No, I think you need to be database, but I'm pretty good at databases of turning apart things and rearranging it.
Can you register a voter?
Or registered voters, or who were it?
All registered voters. So anybody who's a registered voter, through the ROV, you can go to the class. There is usually a fee. Pay a fee?
Minimal.
There's a fee to go. And so, for instance, let's just say that, I'm running for something and I want all the registered no party preference people. So I can go to the ROV, I request that, there's a fee, and they give me a huge database. And then I can go and filter it like these. So that sounds like what.
And when you say a database, it comes what, in an Excel spreadsheet?
No,
it comes in a text file, which is very, very massive. So if you don't know how to run a computer a little bit, it's kind of terrifying, but it can be 20 words.
So this isn't something that an intern could just
probably do
it
with supporting on you.
Why, yeah.
Could you
ask them
if you provide the
picture,
could you ask them
to put it on the website? Well, they give it to me on thumb drive, but you can have the registrar do certain tasks. I don't know what their limitations are. I don't follow that because I use for many, many things.
So we just call it registrar voters, and we want this information.
Is there a big, it's like 30-45. It's very old.
The question of the day is, does the Office on Aging have such a list, and how many emails are in that list?
And if they don't, why not?
Yeah, I mean, we could do it, but I pull up a whole county more.
And so can you filter it by age?
Sure.
You can filter it by their voter registration.
Yeah. A zip code, city, what do you
want? How many times they voted? What do they vote for?
Yeah, the office is for the group. It's called for all of them that have it.
And have you used any of the emails yet?
What?
Have you used the email addresses yet?
Not from the senior citizen group, but I've used it myself yet on the campaign.
And how was the reliability factor? Did you get 20% bounce back, or what bounce back factor did you get?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by bounce back.
I wasn't current.
What's that?
It wasn't current.
Not anything significant. I didn't get anything bounce back. I got comments.
Hey, no dead emails.
Well, I wouldn't say that they didn't bounce back. I get all of them sent out. I don't get any bounce back.
Can I
respond back to this email? Does not exist. I talked to you.
I'm sorry.
I did not get any bounce back. These emails did not exist. So by the time I used the term.
And how many emails did you send out where you didn't get any?
I did not. What?
That you did not get bounce backs.
I did get bounce back.
How many total in the original email winner?
My question is about 10,000.
No bounce back.
Okay, so Dave, are you using like GMAS? What program are you using? Because there's one step that I think people need to know is there are programs like GMAS through Gmail where you upload all the emails, because you're not just like so-and-so at Gmail, so-and-so whatever. So the whole thing gets uploaded in order to be able to accommodate 10,000 emails or 30,000 or whatever. It goes through a program like I use GMAS. I don't know what you're using. And you pay like a nominal, it's like $19 a month if you're going to do 0 to 30,000. So then it's $25 a month if you're going to do 20,000 more than that. So up to 50,000. And then you type it all in and then you hit send. And it will send at least the one I use will send maybe 5,000 at a time or 5,000 times. And then you can go back and you can check the open rate.
Yeah.
But it won't tell you if anything's kicked back. It'll just.
I see.
It'll just, or you might, and then there's an unsubscribe. So you might get a thing that says unsubscribe me. But it's a very common practice in a lot of your campaign. If you've gotten anything, any of the campaign.
Sure. But I don't know if that's when they were getting it.
Very
common.
So I heard a question from, I think it's Rachel, about the Office on Aging uses kind of a technique to outreach.
We do. We can pull a request for that information, of course. Most often we do use it for, during the pandemic period, for robocalling, getting information, information. If we were working on maybe seeking a little bit more information on demographics for surveying purposes, we might use it for that. But one of the concerns that comes with that, and I'm glad some of these questions are coming up in terms of how many bounce backs, whether the issues and concerns to consider. Some of the things that we have to consider is that during that time of the pandemic and high and getting information out, we included the INA, the information and assistance call center phone number. And a lot of the feedback was a lot of concerns and complaints from the public on, well, how did this information get to you? And why are you calling me, right? They didn't opt in to receive any additional calls and generated robocalls and things like that. And a small percentage, less than or about 25%, actually responded with, oh, thank you, we appreciate it. But it's a small percentage, right? So what we try to on our end, if we do try to, let's say, are considering a massive information to get out or survey, tap into our own internal database that we collect our client like participants, where that information is a little bit more active and more reliable on our end, only because these are participants that are actively going and seeking the services or just got services from whether it was contracted service providers are in our community and or our office where they're calling us and providing us that information. So it's one of those that we have to gauge, like, is this the best venue? Is this going to give us the best result? Are we going to be addressed with concerns of, well, how did you get my information?
Yeah, well, that's today's reality.
Yeah.
Now, every robo call you get, that's where they're getting it from.
Yeah. As long as you have that unsubscribe button.
Yes.
Covers that,
right? Well, yeah, and we keep cautioning seniors on getting emails that you're not requesting and it could be fraud. So maybe that issue that needs to be addressed if we put that.
Yeah, have you ever gone? I know you all haven't gone to your emails or Facebook and but hey, I'm interested in I'd like to see if they have these kind of shirts available. What's the next thing you get? You get all these things. Say, hey, if you're interested in these kind of shirts, you go, who's doing all this? That's how it's done.
Sometimes
well,
you have to fake it.
It's things that way. Artificial intelligence is good. Well,
how many do you have in your database? Buddy, how many do you have in your database?
But it's all of our participants, so we have
over 30,000 participants, but that's over years of accessing services throughout all the various collective.
You said 30,000.
Oh yeah, So we depend very heavily, of course, on our community partners as they're doing their annual certifications and intakes prophecy with our participants, that they are collecting active current contact information and putting that in there. But, you know, oftentimes that information may not always be readily available because sometimes they're not able to provide, right? So.
Okay, I don't know what you mean by over the years, but if you get 30,000 over several years, I get 16,000 in minutes. And that's only 4 studies, so I can get probably multiples of that.
There's a lot of factors that go into that in terms of our data collection, because we have participants that might have maybe accessed a service once and might not have that information for another couple of years, 2-3 years. So we have to filter what's most currently active, who's accessing the services, and individuals that come in and come out of programs and services. So that changes and fluctuates our data and our numbers.
Those are probably people that we're not worried about because it's the 40% that don't know how to get to the program. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So really what that hits me with is, I will put this out, is that there is a way to access a much broader list of seniors in all of the communities. And from a proactive standpoint, one of the things in the area update was that you all are producing a newsletter that's going out. So the question of the day becomes, what does that newsletter look like and who is it going to? And how are we building that dynamic? And then two, as a committee, can we refine that list with the Office on Aging Health and encourage all of the senior centers to actively upload that list to their systems and be sure they too are reaching all of these people. Now, I realize we're talking about registered voters maybe, but it is another way of expanding that list and gives us another point for our whole community.
And if you have multiple lists, you can easily, get rid of duplication.
We do have access to our data as well, and we use it constantly for our budget, and make that a second word area planning.
Someone has a bird. On red, we need to be silent.
Okay.
Okay. So it'll be interesting to see how Laguna Hills uses that database and what kind of responses they get from the presentation that we
want to have sent out to all of our community members.
Yeah, we're afraid it might overwhelm them.
And maybe
out well, same
well, they have to have the ability to deal with mass email. That's the main thing too. Like mass email, 10,000 a time. So that may be the limiting factor. Do they have those programs to be able to?
You don't have to have this program.
Okay, who's gonna?
You can do it on your
own. Huh?
You can do it on your own.
Yeah, who's gonna sit there?
So I got on the field with I'm sending out notices by email, get them on every other week so that they have some system for me.
Yeah.
The question is, can we help to expand that database that for
yeah. the interest? So it sounds like we want to keep tabs on this discussion. I mean, yeah. Okay. Any other senior center update?
On Monday at Sea Country in Laguna Niguel, I will give a presentation marking National Healthcare Decisions Day and encouraging people to get their advanced healthcare directives in order. So come and join us. It'll start at 1 o'clock and there will be cool refreshments at Sea Country Laguna Niguel.
Thank you,
Marianne.
I just wanted to say that I do have a slide program from FEMA on emergency preparedness that I expect to take to my senior center. If anybody here thinks I have to send it to you. And it's basically the idea of this is the kit you need to get ready for an emergency.
Okay. In addition to reaching out to your senior center directors, I also recommend reaching out to if your city or community has an interfaith council. Because many of the churches have ministries that serve senior citizens. So I coordinate the one for Laguna Niguel, and then it goes to all the churches, and then they send out information through their ministries. And that has been a very successful way to get information to seniors.
I don't know. Thank you.
Of course, we make recommendations all the time. And one of the things in the community was a bereavement support group. We're doing one of those together, and it meets once a month. And it's been quite successful. They have a leader and everything, so it's not just anybody.
This is Mission Viejo. The stats for 2023 show that they had 100,000 people participate at the community center.
Of all ages?
Yes.
It just. People who are not seniors, and I was like that when I was 50. Oh, no, thank you. I didn't want to have anything to do with those old people. I don't know why I would like it. I wouldn't even. Someone gave me the art magazine. Oh, this is a very good article. I think it was like, I don't even read the article. I said, I'll look at it. So I have changed. All right, now, another thing. Every year, and it's coming up, there is a jewelry sale, and it really brings in big money for the senior center, community center. And I can't remember how much they got last year from it, but some of us are there on Tuesdays doing all the, but I must say, it is a very successful thing. And it wasn't just jewelry, it was purses, and belts, and I bought so much. I really like the deal where you can buy secondhand things and for a very good price. And
yeah.
With for a very good cost too.
What's the date this year's?
I think it's going to be May, but or maybe it's August. Wife is very involved in this too.
I think they raised about 12 to 16 thousand.
12 to 16 thousand. It was so
good. They were beach wins. So here's 35,000.
42
of them.
But who's counting?
Two for each.
That's one to go to. They have things in there, China and stuff. If you're in the internet, unbelievable.
Oh, okay.
Now, first week in October.
Okay.
First Friday.
Well, remind us when it gets closer.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Just 18.
This items like previously owned by residents that they go, it's like a big swap meet.
Yes.
That is very cool. Good community building. Anything else on one?
Yes. August 18th.
August
18th and the 19th, to retail. But we don't sell dishes or anything like that. But it is good. All right. There are these free concerts each month on Tuesday. There's the first Tuesday of the month from 4:30 to 6:30, and they're called Tuesday on the Terrace Concert. They're quite good, and they're free. On a Friday morning, from 8 till 9, which you need to get there like 7:45, they give out all this free food, and there are no income requirements. I don't know how many other places do this, but this is incredible. And last month they had the Miss Senior California Beauty Pageant. And last year, the person from the Mission Hill went was first runner up for Miss Senior USA.
Thank you. What? Mission Viejo is a fun city to live in.
It is.
Yeah, you
don't know there when it's going to be.
Yeah,
I thought I had a good one, but yeah,
it was the best thing that could have ever happened.
I mean, Mission Viejo is incredible.
It is where I grew up. I love it. Oh, okay, thank you. One last item, and hopefully we don't have to ball and hold. Yes.
I have a question. I reached out to people I knew in Fountain Valley to take on Fountain Valley, and I got a happy response. They both said that they're involved with the Y, that it's YMCA there, and so even though they're my age, they're not using the senior center.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to reach out to somebody, but I need to know someone else who lives in that area who would be willing to take on.
Probably going to the senior center.
But then I don't have a connection to them to say, hey, would you like being in the senior
center? Well, the director might know one of the people that goes
to the senior center. That's why I asked you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And he's a very involved director, too.
Okay, good. I needed.
He's in charge of, they have an association of recreation professionals, and he's in charge of their senior services as a volunteer.
I am happy to reach out.
Awesome. Thank you. Now, speaking of our spreadsheet, we have a couple of updates. Lynette let us know that Anaheim wants one contact instead of four for their senior centers.
Well, because most of them have on their community.
Yes, exactly. So we're going to update that. I also got an update from Robin about a new contact in Anaheim. But we are looking for someone that's not Patty because she's so busy to update that spreadsheet on a regular basis. I've been doing it and I have a little bit on my plate too. So can someone else update the spreadsheet as their volunteer activity here? Otherwise, Jean's gonna have to look at you. It's a commitment of 5 to 7 minutes a month. And not on, yeah, you can do it, Amina? Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'll make the update for the two pieces of information that we have, and then I'll send it to you. So it'll be all updated when it arrives with you. And then when we get new members, we need to plug them into new senior centers. So that's the other little bit of it, close to where they live.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you so much. Great. Okay, I think that we are able to go back now to item number 8. And again, thank you, John, for leading our discussion.
Thank you, Mary. Hello, my name is John Poyer. I'm the leader, director, California Senior Legislature. My official title is Chair, Joint Rules Committee. In my capacity, I have approximately 120 volunteers, 40 senators, senior senators, and 80 senior assembly members, that work on an annual basis on legislation impacting seniors. I've provided you with a couple of documents to try and give you a better idea of what we do. The first is the advocate. That basically has identified not every bill, but most of the bills that we're aware of that impact older adults, older Californians, some people still use senior, and categorize it by the MPA goals. So this should give you a pretty good idea of what is out there and in regards to a specific MPA goal. So what I've also done is put a plug in for the Senior Rally Day, May 8th. The rally is an opportunity that we utilize to so we utilize that because May is an important month for the budget. May revise is submitted. There is something called conference committee. It hasn't happened in a couple of years. It's been basically something else. But and then ultimately, the budget rolls up for the governor and is submitted by June 15th. So the legislators get paid. That's very important. They haven't missed a budget day in years now since that criteria. So what we attempt to do is pull together interested constituents and speak to the budget and legislation. I've given you the afternoon program, which is called our advocacy program, and we cherry pick bills and invite legislator, in reality, a staff member, to come to us and speak to their particular legislation. So we get about 10 or 15 minutes from each of them, and you get an opportunity as a participant to ask questions and get a better idea of what that particular bill is supposed to do.
It's on Zoom. It's on Zoom.
Correct. It's so virtual.
You might want to mention it.
Okay, it's on Zoom. So the cover, the AM program identifies that in fact it is virtual. I didn't make that copy for you because I wanted to focus on this.
Well, it's very convenient if you live in Orange County.
Yes. So
this is trying to booster.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. We had over 600 people participate last year. We're hoping we raise 750 this year. So we'll see. But what I wanted to try to do is give you an idea of how Senior Rally Day takes the legislation that is out there. Remember, not all inclusive, but what we can identify and then make an attempt to, again, cherry pick what we want to try to highlight. In terms of discussion, the AM program involves a opening by, we hope, the speaker and the Senate Pro Tem, and then moves into Kim McCoy Wade, representing the governor's office. Kim McCoy Wade was the previous director for the California Department of Aging, and also then moves to Susan Damaris. And then we have the chair for aging and long-term care and the Senate chair for health and the Senate chair for human services. Then we move into a panel discussion, and this year is going to be a number, approximately 5 to 6 nonprofits speaking to what the budget deficit will be, what kind of impact it will have on their programs, which allows me to segue to, again, probably one of the primary, one of the important topics is going to be the fact that housing took a significant this year. And you've read in the newspaper about what the legislature and the governor have attempted to do recently in terms of trying to find money to offset the projected deficit. And that amounts to about 17 billion. And, you know, you can read the commentary about whether it's all gimmicks or whether it's really real money and that kind of thing. Draw your own conclusion. I'm not here to help you in regards to that. I represent a nonpartisan organization. Okay? You'll never know what my party affiliation is. Now you can find out, but you'll never know.
Now we know how you can find out.
Yeah, maybe a little nervous. So, anyway, what we are going to try to do again is share with you where we're at in legislation, where we're at with the budget. That's what I was speaking to. And again, remember there's two figures out there right now. I'm sorry, I keep getting in your rocks. The poll keeps getting in your line of sight with me. So there either.
And now you have the ghost of Easter Seal.
So it's either 30 billion plus that the governor is projecting, or it's over 70 billion that the legislative analyst office is projecting. Right now, I attended a budget committee hearing last week, and basically the two organizations are operating off their budget figure. Okay, if we're speaking from the Department of Finance, they're operating off of a 30 plus billion dollar budget that they're not considering at this point that there may be a 70 plus billion dollar. They're operating off the governor's projection. And if you talk to if you listen to the legislature, they're talking more in terms of 70 plus, and in reality, everyone's waiting for the April 15th tax revenue figures to see if there's any windfall. So everything basically, in my opinion, standing in place. They're talking about programs and getting a better idea of what impact it would have if there was a cut, but everyone's waiting for a windfall event to occur, in my opinion. So that's my own two cents. So what I attempted to do for Mary and all of you was share with you what we're going to be focusing on senior rally day and share with you what you might want to think about as private citizens, okay? Recommendations on how to say, okay, well, in the scheme of things, there's 30 plus bills here. I've identified one, SB 37, which I think has a pretty significant chance of passing, but we never want to take anything for granted. I thought I had nine darn good proposals that were going to be picked up by February 16th, I got one, okay? And I
never know.
CSL members, put your fingers in your ears. I never thought that was going to have a chance, a prayer. And that's the one involving personal needs allowance. In a budget year in which we're faced with deficits, we're attempting to raise the personal needs allowance from $35 to over 50. I think it's more like 80.
It's when you live in a nursing home that you would have that much money back from your budget in order to buy things for yourself.
Right. So that's where we're at. So what I'm attempting to do today is simply share with you, as I typically try to do, what the legislation is out there involving seniors. Share with you what senior rally day will look like. Hype it up so that I reach my 750 figure, and then suggest that at a minimum, we might want to focus on a couple of things to allow us to get a better feel for. So how do I support FD 37? Okay. So again, I've presented in the past, there's a portal that you utilize through the legislature that allows you to submit your email letter of support. It's basically just filling in a form on the system, and that document follows that particular bill
throughout the process. You have to do that once. So John Pointer goes in, logs in, creates an email, I support SB 37. That could be it, or you could try to attempt to write as many, I think there's a 200 character limit on it, not six pages, but a 200 character limit that allows you to then put your support in. And John Pointer, as part of this organization, would be doing that as a private citizen, not John Pointer, member of the advisory.
But because of the advisory committee, recommend that our county look at this.
I would thank you. I was going to jump there next. So I guess the next part of my presentation then is to say, okay, so Merrick asked me to then sort of lead a discussion around SB 37, and on that, there are two budget recommendations. One of them involves the $25 million pilot housing stabilization program. And the other is one that Meredith brought to my attention involving $500 million to fund affordable housing, which is, I believe the correct term is temporary funding, that it's rolled over or approved every year. But what we're asking for is, it's not in the budget this year. So what we're asking for is to be reinstated in the budget. Okay. Question.
Okay. Yeah, do you want to mention on the advocate and all California senior legislature friendship, friends of CFL?
Sure.
People to join.
Sure. So what Davis references, and on the very back page, there's two items there. One, voluntary contributions. That is a program the state utilizes through the Form 540 state tax returns that allow certain nonprofits that apply for inclusion in this voluntary contribution fund, and they're listed on page 3 or page 4 of your Form 540, depending upon whether you're utilizing the short form or the long form. And there's about 20 plus organizations there that you can make a donation to. We are one of those. However, there was a significant change around 2018, and we no longer became solely dependent on contributions through this tax checkoff. That was a big change for us. So the other piece of that is that the Friends of CFL is an opportunity for you to receive information involving CFL and provide input on ideas you have for legislation and that kind of thing, and simply join the Friends of CFL. If you participate in the senior rally day, you're automatically entered into the Friends of CFL database. So just a little technique there. So have any other questions? Yes.
This is a general question for your, I guess, your organization, your connection. I see a lot of these things, at least the ones I noted here. They typically just wouldn't ask for money I use them perfectly, throw the problem. How much effort is given to solve the problem as opposed to just continue spending money? Because I see this $500 million here growing to, you double that, you have $1 billion, that's another billion of deficit. I like to see problems solved instead of just continue to throw money at it, and it'll just grow because the recipients are going to want more and more, no matter what the project is.
Well, I haven't seen an organization within the legislature that goes back to analyze the passage of a particular bill or the funding that would go into the budget to support what is on the back of the recommendations page. So it says, we included in our budget $500 million. How was that spent and what was the outcome? I haven't seen that. There's a lot of talk about that. And depending on what side of the aisle you're on, there's more emphasis on that than maybe on the group that's on the opposite side of the aisle.
but I haven't seen anything actually, you know, a committee or an organization that performs that particular
function. The housing, function. You can see how many units we will get or won't get, depending on how it's spent.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be a good idea to have an organization look and see, okay, what was it done? Was it effective? You know, how do we fix it and solve it anyway?
It, from a.
Is that legislative analyst's responsibility?
What the legislative analyst does, and let's take the budget, basically says, I'm an independent organization that provides data to the legislature on what the budget impact will be. But I haven't seen them go back and after the fact say, this is the outcomes. Something I have to that Meredith has a thought maybe we could go back and measure units or that kind of thing. Yeah, that could be, but I haven't seen, I'm not saying they don't, I simply haven't seen that emphasis on there.
Well, the state of California is recently looking at their housing responsibilities and the lack of a reporting structure for the homeless prevention or the homelessness structure. And one of the conversations around that was there's not funding to fund the evaluation.
Yeah.
So I was in on a
evaluation
in on a meeting in which Kim McCoy Wade was there representing the governor's office on the issues of aging, and one of the topics was, so I give the AAA X amount of money. What did I get out of that? Okay, that's a crude present. I'm sure I didn't do it justice, but I thought it was interesting that the topic was not only did I, give you X amount of money, I'm just trying to see, so what are the outcomes as a result of that? I don't think the AAA would disagree with their, or maybe it's always been there, but an increased emphasis coming down in terms of they've got a data dashboard trying to track results, all in an effort to try and, in my humble opinion, more effectively measure what is going on in, I'm going to call it the field. What are the outputs?
What works and what doesn't work?
Yes.
You can do that with our whole state budget.
Right.
You've got to hold everything. You wanted this much, what did that get us at the end of the year?
Yeah.
And we see the results here if you're better. We don't do that with any budget because it'd be shocking. The results. We spend billions on all this. So it's not lack of money. Maybe they look at another strategy.
Mm-hmm. So, Meredith, I'm going to lean on you a little bit now in terms of the piece involving the a moving from personal support, private citizen support of a particular budget item or a particular bill to the vision around a county support process. So,
now you're going to have to help me so that I say it correctly, but I believe what we can do is we can discuss these SB 37 and the multi-housing family program. And any other bills that people want to, and if our group as a whole by vote, I think.
It would need to be an item on the next agenda. I don't remember us to take a vote on it. We wouldn't be able to do the stuff now, but we
would. Oh, I wish I would have done that. Okay, I need to help like that in the future ahead of time because now we're gonna, it's not gonna, our support won't work because it's gonna be beyond the time of the year.
Mm-hmm. You could call a special meeting if you'd like and take action.
For another day before the next month's meeting, if that's something great. So today, obviously, the discussion was to discuss, to bring all this information forward, to look at, give input, and make that selection, and then collectively, as a whole, decide even which direction you want to take. And if there is actual recommended, we want to bring this forth, you would have to place it as an action item and have the general council commission vote on it.
Could she do a special, an emergency meeting with a 24-hour notice? So, like, if she was to on Monday, say there's an emergency meeting on Tuesday?
She can, yes.
Look, when we have an emergency item come up at a council meeting, if we have a two-thirds vote of the council, we can add it on right then and there and act on it. We're not allowed to do that here.
Mm-hmm.
You do what?
That's what we should.
Yeah. If we were having it because of the time constraint,
uh-huh.
If we were to take it as an emergency item right now, would we be able to vote to add it on to the emergency item to the time constraint? We can do that at council.
So we have that capability because within your bylaws you don't have any emergency item like anything that you would call and consider and constitute an emergency. However, you can plan for a special meeting and provide that proper 24-hour notice. Of course, you have to still have a quorum to be able to vote on it and bring that recommendation forward as a commission.
So we do this over Zoom?
No.
How do you plan for emergencies?
Yeah.
Weather emergency.
Okay, so let's learn about this so that we don't have the problem next year. So next year, we should discuss. Well, see, the problem is that we need to discuss it and then vote on it because of the way the legislature works.
So you probably want to take a look at. Obviously, if you want to bring this recommendations forth before senior legislation, right, for example, you want to start these discussions early in the year.
They're not baked then.
And they're not, right, but at least bring forth one of the things as a commission you want to, like, kind of keep an eye on or what you want to or assign who's keeping an eye on this to bring it forth. I would say definitely by, I'd say, April's meeting, you definitely want to have that as an actual action item. So those discussions need to start literally, I'm going to say, February, March, later, like as an actual discussion.
But the Girl Scout talk, we could have, if the action, if we listed today's agenda item as action, we could have
action.
Level of expertise.
We can discuss and recommend on the same day. So if it would have been listed differently,
yeah,
correct. And
Why would we list everything that says potential action? Then?
You can.
That's what I think we should do. Yeah. Every discussion we have and potential action. Otherwise, you're going to discuss it and there's no action.
And then you don't have any action.
That's a waste of
time. I would think going forward, we just want to do that so we don't get into this situation.
Yeah.
That go ahead and list everything as an action item that we have the ability to have
on it. So number eight, because if you have an action item on the agenda, you don't have to act.
Right.
Correct.
That makes sense. It does. They have a discussion item, but no action with it is. It makes no sense. We'll talk about a rugby to get action.
Okay, so at number eight, what should have been discussion and action item?
Mm-hmm.
Now I know. That's what you get for having a civilian in this role.
Question is.
And Mary, if we just check that info, SB 37 isn't. Isn't anywhere at this point beyond the. I think it was an appropriation.
Yeah.
So. It's not like you've got to make a decision now in regards to that. You have some time.
Yes.
Okay.
But we have to we would vote at a special meeting and then we would recommend that our county support it like the other two counties, three counties have. If that's what our group wants to do. Yes. Our group may not want to do that. Okay.
What is the process? So let's say there's a vote and it's yes. On SB 37, let's say. So then it goes to Claudius here. Then Claudius is aware of that. And I think it goes
to the kind of to legislative council.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then there's basically discussion there and they come back.
Right.
We're already all over that, or no, we're not going to support that. Or our lobbyist is made aware of that or something like that. I guess that's the process.
Yeah, in general terms. We take action, we ask the board to take action on very vague ideas. So anything that supports more money coming into the county for seniors, that's something that we present at the beginning of the year. So anything that's tied to that usually is.
Right.
So does the county have, do we know what the county is already thinking about SB 37?
No. I don't have any information on that right now. No, I don't know.
We could ask them to be invited, I'm assuming they decline.
They were just not available to attend today's meeting. Yes, I do reach out in terms of is there anything that we can support on. Not anything specific that I can share on SB 37. However, we do have our county's CEO legislation priorities report that gets updated, and after every board meeting on Tuesdays, then there's results there and updates on legislation that the county is aware of, what we're looking into, if there were any, let's say, actions, where the status is of that legislation. So that is always available to the public. And we can definitely get you exact links if you need that. We can share that with you. However, nothing specific that I can speak upon right now specific to any bills.
Do you monitor that to see if there are senior issues that you can bring back to us?
Can you say that again?
Do you monitor that, what you just described, from the county, to see if there are senior issues that they've taken positions on so you can report back to us or share that with them?
Currently, our CEO legislative unit and under our division, we have a legislative manager. They are tasked with monitoring these bills. Anything that comes to us that's affecting that, they can reach out to us for, let's say, some internal discussions. How would that address? What does that mean in terms of programming and services or any support for legislation? We have that internal discussion. And then moving forward, we can definitely discuss on how much of the information we can definitely share.
Yeah, and the external discussion that the county supervisors.
No, not
they
external.
Don't share that. They have it at a public meeting to say, yeah, we support this Assembly Bill 37. Your group is monitoring that. You then get that back to us, or can you get that back to us?
We can request those updates. So as our county legislation is having any of those discussions and we'd like to receive an update on where that is or anything that we can share forth, we can definitely reach out.
That's all public information.
Correct.
Meredith, just one point. If you do have a special meeting, there are people in the group here that are in a special organization that may benefit from this. They would have to refuse to help. Like you represent an organization that would get money for this bill, you can vote on it.
My organization is sponsoring, but not getting any money. Just doing the act of goodwill, not an advocacy.
Okay. Can I make a kind of parallel thing? When John had mentioned, maybe people don't know this, maybe you guys do, and I'm just, I don't know. But as a private citizen, you know, when you're asked as a private citizen to either go write a letter or make a phone call or whatever in support or opposition, obviously this one's in support. Those are really important. Some people think, why should I do that? Well, I can tell you that every legislator, whether it's Assembly or Senate, when they have a bill in front of them, there's a page that lists every name and organization, either in opposition or support. So when you are asked or if you want to show support for something as that private citizen, not as this group, it's really important because your name will end up on there. And they get to look at that and they'll see like page after page after page after page. And it's helpful. So just wanted to make sure people realize that it does get presented to the legislator that, you know, legislators when they're discussing.
Yeah, they look at the support for sure with individuals and organizations. So for SB 37, maybe we should talk about it a little bit more. The idea is that it would create shallow rent subsidies. So the homelessness, a lot of things haven't worked, as we've discussed. One of the things that the studies have shown does work is that if you can keep people housed, it's a lot better for their health and well-being and for society for them to stay housed rather than have a period of homelessness. And a lot of times for people on a fixed income, that could be $200 or $300 a month. So their rent's going up, their social security is staying the same. But we have what they call a shallow rent subsidy that meets that difference and keeps them in housing. That's what SB 37 is looking to pilot.
I can piggyback on that, Mary.
Yeah.
Justice and aging is housing insecurity is a major concern because of the growing problem amongst the older adult population and the increased possibility of homelessness as a result of the ever-increasing challenges of rent. So it's a significant concern, and SB 37 is one
vehicle to attempt to address that. We also identified in here from the back several budget issues.
And this is the budget that goes with SB 37. Right. So this is, these two things go together. So SB 37 is the concept, and then the budget is the pilot housing stabilization program. So they're putting in a budget request and legislation at the same time for the same thing.
So again, the effort was to identify, based on several prominent organizations joining together who are concerned with issues impacting seniors. And that gets the ones that are evident now is as we watch and track FP 37, you'll see the number of organizations, I believe, supporting this growing.
And there's three counties and like five cities right now that are
supported. Right. Right, this point. So it's just an issue that everyone should be concerned with, because the not only is the senior population growing, but the issue of housing and homelessness is also growing in relationship to the
biggest group is down to older adults. And then the other thing I would say is, I don't know if you guys have looked at the affordable housing rent in your city, but for example, in San Clemente, a one bedroom apartment that's affordable is now $1,500 a month. Well, if you make $18,000 or $2,000 a month, you're at risk then if you have any other problems or any other situation going on of not being able to pay that rent.
So I'll be back there, Dave. So as the rents are rising, you also have seen that your personal residence, the sale price of your personal residence has increased. I believe the figure was increased 9% in 1 year. There's nowhere to go. literally, if you can't afford the rent, you're not likely going to be able to go buy a home at the same time as well to try and get out from underneath that. Dave.
Yeah, just a note, I was looking at the Orange County Executive Office Legislative Affairs report for April 5th, and they list the bills that the state legislature, that they're either supporting, sponsoring, and SB 37 is not listed in any of those bills. But that's just one week report. I'd have to go back to others to see if it's even on their agenda, SB 37.
Any other discussion on SB 37?
Yeah. I'm just trying to ask, because will it solely cover the older citizens, United States citizens, or it covers everyone?
Undocumented.
I'm not for anything else. I wanted to be sure that our citizens will be the one to be given the priority. Yes, sir.
Most likely. The rules on rental assistance support for that comes either from HUD or the county or the state typically ask for a verification of residency as well as some state-issued ID that will ensure that we are funding the person who is paying taxes.
You know, I ask this question because there's a lot of guys that are being kicked out and in favor of the undocumented migrants.
I'm sorry, say that again?
My point is we have to give priority to the citizens of the United States of America.
But let's say that one more time.
Okay.
Who's being kicked out?
The veterans.
Yeah. There's veterans that we got from. They're already inside the base or the military installation. They're even being kicked out in favor of the government. So I just want to be sure that will this be included also that would favor the American United States of America citizen?
Not necessary.
We'll get back. That's not easily to be verified.
Well, there are a lot of people that aren't citizens that are here legally as well. So,
Well, then yes, Calvin, I eat too. So that's not a hurdle. And what you described was exactly right, that the answer is no. You don't necessarily have to be a citizen to get these benefits.
So I'm closing with, there's two options we're pursuing right now. Of course, the first is, as a private citizen, taking advantage of the e-portal process that allows you to go in and express your support for SB 37. And then the other option involves the engagement of the county. And that will be presented at a subsequent meeting. And we will determine, I believe, what kind of, whether this body wants to go forward. And then what does that result in? Is that a fair summary, Claudia?
Make that recommendation over to us so that we can then move it on and
yes.
to our
yes.
county
yes.
legislation.
And
yeah.
there's no guarantee.
Right.
It's just basically yeah. a, I'll call it escalation of the issue for the county to take a look and see if they can include it on the list of bills they're supporting. Okay.
Any other discussion?
Yes. I'd like to make a request. The California Senior Legislature has an excellent training on how to register for the legislative portal. And if you're registered with the legislative, it is so easy to go in and advocate or oppose different bills. And as a body, we would do that as private citizens. But what's really great about that is rather than sending a letter or phone call to an individual legislator's office, your position follows the bill as it goes from committee to committee. So I'm requesting that, John, if you could share that so that it can be distributed, we can all get it in our email. And then that's also something you can share with your friends. And it just takes you a couple of minutes to register. And once you know how to do that, you can advocate not only for this, but for other bills. Or yeah. oppose bad legislation. We have to not only advocate for good, but we have to oppose bad. So I'm requesting that if we can have that sent out, because I know a couple of years ago we did that.
I'll be happy to do it next.
Yeah, that would be great.
I'll just send it to the listener. How would you like me to do that?
We would recommend that it comes from you as individual emails, not as a whole group email, if that is just information that you wanted to share. Because my understanding is you want to do it as individual citizens, correct?
Yeah, but sure. if John can send you the PowerPoint to show people how to sign up, and then if you could just send that to all of the committee members, and individually at home on our own time, we can learn how to do it and go in as individuals and advocate. But if the office, if your staff would then send that email out to the whole, because we're constantly told we can't email the whole group, so we could send that.
John, you forward.
So I'm going to send it to Mary, and Mary's going to send it to you, by the way, is the way that's going to work.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Rather than you send it direct to you, I mean, yeah. Send it to the chair.
Next week, so our vice chair will be leading the special meeting. Do we want to have a special meeting? That's the question. Do we want to have this recommendation to the county? What does the body think?
Do we need to make a motion and formally vote? Affirmation.
We can't conduct any
process. We can discuss whether people are interested.
We can't vote whether or not to have a special meeting. Right.
I believe you said it wasn't coming out soon anyway. So
it's not coming out. There's already a long list of supporters right now. What do you think? Well, I disagree with you. What do you think?
Just check Ledge Info. It still shows it's an appropriation.
Do you think we have another month?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Something will change. But I'm on the in Ledge Info, you can identify that you want to receive
updates on specific bills.
How long will the process take then? Because we make a recommendation, so we'll not take months over our council.
If it was called a special meeting, you vote that you want to recommend to bring that forth, we can set that literally after the meeting. We'll collect that information, however, in what format you what would like for us to share, and then we can vote forward on.
She's asking if we wait, if there's enough time that we wait until the May meeting and then we vote on it, how long? And then obviously you could do the same thing and send it right over after, but
after the meeting,
how long is county going to take? Another month or 2 months? Do you have any idea? Or is
oh, that process. Let me get some more information on that in regards to on county legislation and how long that process takes. Let me get some clarification that I can share with you on that.
I think that would be good because if we find that that's going to be the limiting factor to take, then we should call a special meeting before the May meeting to get the process started.
And Meredith, my opinion, you may have a different one. I think SB 37 is linked to the budget piece, and they're waiting to see if the budget piece passes to then move it forward rather than vote on it and it doesn't go anywhere because it's not funded. So if that's the case, you know, we've got through May, I believe, and ultimately see what the May revise shows. That'll be one indicator whether the legislature asks for that or doesn't. So I guess I'm saying I think we've got some time.
Okay.
In regards
to unless our company has a long waiting period in their work process.
I can seek some more information on that process.
Crystal and I'm
going to
be out of town.
One more observation that the county would probably appreciate is so if I were the county, I might be saying, well, maybe we ought to wait to see if it's funded, that the budget request is actually funded. That triggers whether SB 37 is going anywhere in that process. So just some further information in regards to that as well. Maybe you don't want to get the cart before the horse, I guess, but possibly suggesting for consideration.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much, John.
And emergency meeting, we keep done. We will be
No. And I learned about how to write the agenda better. So there we go. Learning every day. Okay. So now we are on to our Office on Aging update with Claudia and Major Renee. It would be nice for you to introduce yourself to the talk.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. My name is Renee Ramirez. I'm the Director of Orange County Community Services. And within the Community Services Division, we have the Office on Aging, Veterans Service Office, and Workforce Development. Thank you all for being here to the committee. I appreciate all of the dialogue and your patience in as we go through kind of the county process on how to get a lot of this stuff done. I think once we have a good process in place, it will be as difficult. We won't be looking into those issues when you are today.
Thank you.
So you don't have to be a help.
All right. Well, good morning again, everyone. I definitely, in the spirit of our discussion of legislation, there is some things that I do want to share on, and specifically one of the bills that has been on our watch, at least internally. When I say internally, it's between the Office on Aging and, as Ms. Renee mentioned, our division under Office on Aging falls under Orange County Community Services and also falls under the division of Orange County's Community Resources. So yes, I have had some. I can definitely share that with you. Some conversation with the manager that oversees legislation and anything that might come forth that they seek our feedback on, so that they can further then report up to the CEO's legislation affairs in that process. One of those is the Senate Bill 1249. That one we were able to provide some feedback. Also wanted to share that the California Association of Area Agencies on Aging, I think most of you know it as C4A, that is definitely a bill that they're actively watching and providing comments and recommendations on that bill language. That bill specifically really focuses on
the area of agencies across California's designation areas and service areas, and what does that mean in terms of the capacities of what the state is governed to regulate in terms of funding, area administration, Older American Act programs, what are considered core programming. So a lot of more administrative designation criteria to consider. That gives counties, for us here in Orange County, as the designated AAA, obviously the opportunity to, if that bill passes, to report to the state on we are the designated area agency on aging in our county, and of course that we then be responsible for administering locally those Older American Act service programs. But across the state, the reason why this bill is on the watch for the association is because across the state, the area agencies on aging look very different. Not all are county driven, right? Some of them are small nonprofit entities, and some of them provide services under Older American Act funding to multiple, let's say, county jurisdiction areas. So the bill really kind of puts it back on the state, on California Department of Aging, to really assess what that needs to look like moving forward. How does that impact funding allocation, including like base allocations to even just current existing AAA? So I am happy to share that we provided some feedback so that can elevate in addition to some of the discussions happening at the association. I'm sure for those of you who will be attending that C4A conference in May, more information, I'm sure it will be shared during that conference on where that is.
And then
yes, so that causes a lot of challenges administratively because of just the way the AAAs look across the state is not uniform. It's functioned very, they function very differently. So lots of talk and discussion there. If I am able to share anything on that, I'll be sure to bring it forth in future for future meetings for you. I did want to point out the California Association, C4A, Associations of Area Agency on Aging have updated. If any of you have ever visited their website, they have updated it quite a bit just in the last recent couple of months. So they've now added like their report on what legislation is on their watch, what they're trying to support, kind of what their priorities within the next coming years and what they want to continue to follow or continue to support. So currently, of course, at the top of their priorities is any legislation that will support additional funding for aging services. So I definitely can share any of those updates that come and can definitely share that website with you as well. But if you want to write that down, that website is www.c4a.info. That will take you to the general information website, and there it will have a link that gets to their legislative priorities too. And they have a nice little, like a little one pager information, high level, like update on what they're watching and what they're supporting. So I wanted to share that. In regards to us here locally, updates coming from Office on Aging, we've been quite busy with, as you all know, our area plan and making sure that that gets to our Board of Supervisors so that we can meet our required deadline to California Department of Aging. That deadline to submit our area plan report is May 1st. So we are scheduled to take that request to approve from our Board of Supervisors on May 23rd. So just wanted to extend my gratitude and thank you for those of you that joined the public hearing and for your public comments and questions that you brought forth. So we're excited to get that wrapped up so that we can submit to the state. And then just for your knowledge and what happens with that area plan after we submit it to the Department of Aging, they will review if there's any, let's just say, questions on the formatting, information, anything about our services, our responsibilities within the funds that we receive for the area plan, then those questions will come forth from the state if there's any more to do on our end. With that, our annual updates is something that will follow. So that area plan is for the next 4 years. And every year we do annual updates, and in that we have that capability and flexibility to then submit any changes to our goals, any changes to our objectives, any changes in terms of services, capacities, and things like that. The state does provide us like a very prescribed format and how things are done and where it's written and what should be included and not included in these area plans and these updates. So we will be providing those. And so usually that comes around also around the time frame of May when these updates are due. So just wanted to bring next. I know we have a lot of new members who are fairly new to that process of what is the area plans. We wanted to get that information to you. As always, if there's any questions specific to that, I'm here to answer those. Elizabeth is actually our manager that also helps me with the draft of the area plan and very involved with that and what's in it. So if you do have any general questions that we can answer for you, I believe many of you did receive that copy, the draft, before that public hearing. But if anything in there comes to mind or triggers some interest, please feel free to reach out. Questions on that before?
With the website you gave, how is that different? The one I follow is called Justice and Aging.
So the California Association is just specific to the association under California for our California area agencies on aging. So very separate from the Justice of Aging. Justice of Aging is coming from a federal higher level. So if they're at the federal level supporting, requesting funding, bills, and things like that, They're two completely separate pages as well. Two complete different entities.
All right. The Justice and Aging one is going to be a lot more thorough.
It's kind of a broader
umbrella.
Yes. C4A is going to be very targeted, very focused on those issues.
All of these.
California.
Well, that just kind of gives to get kind of a little
bit of the Justice and Aging.
A more global than the UBF, the Justice of Aging. But that's a good question. Yeah. Other updates that I have, I think we covered it all. Lots of fruitful discussion in regards to. I noted some action items, of course, for us to follow up on our county's processes on legislation in the time frame. So we'll be sure to share that. Mary, if I heard you correctly, you're not going to be available for the next. So I'll be sure to send that over to Crystal. We'll connect with that.
You can see me.
Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, that is all that I have. So thank you.
Thank you. All right. Now moving over to our presentation schedule with Sandy and Barbara.
We have everything laid out until June. I'm waiting for you guys to tell us what you
want. We haven't talked. One of our priority areas was transportation. So I'm wondering if we would want to have even a panel of the PTA and consumer mobility, maybe two or three.
I have a contact with the OCTA general director. He's making a presentation on every club.
Does everyone think? Yeah,
if there's anyone that maybe you can talk to the differences between the cities on their city mobility programs.
But she does it from like the broad, well, I guess that maybe if we could have two, I think it would be interesting if we could have two or three cities that we consider the best practice.
Yeah, we'll get an ELG3
map. Yeah.
Program.
Oh, the
yeah. That would be really interesting because that's a question that comes up all over the county is how do we increase transportation?
Right. Over mm-hmm. the time. Right. Yeah, and if you have a contact at your city, if you could email Sandy and Barbara, because it sounds like Elaine, you might be able to hook us up with the right person, Bogan and Miguel. I have a person for OCTA, and you have a contact at OCTA. Are there any other cities that we think have best programs that could be replicated? I don't know. Well, that's something to ask your senior center next month. What's the transportation program like here, and is it working? And if it's working, great. Who is it?
Jean's program is probably one of the better ones because it's still a part, right?
No.
Hi, Belinda.
Go for it.
Your Belinda has a taxi program that goes anywhere around county for $1.
Oh, well, then we should hear, maybe we could hear from the city of your Belinda, too.
We absolutely can.
Yeah.
We should be able to have the taxi.
Yeah, but there's this $1 anywhere in Orange County.
Oh, yeah, that too. We don't
get even need to wake up and see a beach.
You don't like, you can invite those people to sit in the back and do some other programs.
Just on transportation, anecdotally, what's happening in Leaderville right now is our insurance on our, we've had a bus system of our own inside Leaderville for decades. And they are at the point where they have to let it go or shut it down because of insurance costs. Mm-hmm. Their insurance bill for the buses alone went up $140,000 year over year.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen similar explosions on insurance costs for other things as well. So the crisis isn't per se transportation. The crisis is the effect of insurance increases on transportation.
Yes.
In insurance, there is a great increase on the premiums this day from 35% to 55%. So there's a lot of increase in that one. And it also adds to if you have a lot of tickets or accidents as far as the driver is concerned. So that's another factor that will increase all the insurance premiums. So I think that's the reason why there's a lot of maybe scrap this particular project because of that.
I think it would be interesting if we each commit, and you can tell me if it sounds good, to asking your senior center how transportation is going for the city, if they're hearing about gaps in transportation for some of the people that they serve, and then we can bring that back and talk about that next time as we put together this new panel. To try to inspire the cities that are needing more help to do something like maybe look in and they go, okay, how does that sound? All right, now we are on to announcements. Anyone have an announcement? Going on, going private. All right, well, thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.